In the sermon today, I'm going to focus on the words at the beginning of John 14. There's a lot in there, a lot of good stuff about Jesus and what the way is. I actually talked about that, I think, last year. There's good, really good stuff about Jesus and the Father. So the way, one of the reasons I'm a Christian is because I believe these words of Jesus that if we know Jesus, we know God. And so being a Christian, I think, is the best way to really get a handle on what God is like, what the divine is like. Because if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. And there's all kinds of really important implications of that. And those are all things to think about and ponder for another day. I'm just going to real briefly look at the first three verses from John 14, where Jesus says, "Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me so that you will be where I am also." I'm focusing on these words partly because they speak to our situation. Don't be troubled. Jesus says. The world we are living in right now helps to produce in us anxiety and trouble and depression. Many of us are anxious, worked up, stirred up, disturbed, troubled. In fact, I was looking at some inventories this last week of depression and anxiety, and we were looking at these inventories and thinking, gosh, probably 70 or 80% of America or the world would score very high on these metrics right now. The way the world is right now is stirring up our hearts. We are troubled. At the beginning of this, it sounds like Jesus basically just kind of says, stop it. And when I read that, I immediately thought of the Bob Newhart sketch from several years ago. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I'll post a link to that video on Facebook because it's so good. It's this little sketch with Bob Newhart as a therapist. It's not from the show. It's much later than that. Where this woman comes in and she's scared of something, and Bob Newhart's great advice to her is, stop it! And he just kind of yells at her like, oh, do you want to do that? That sounds terrible. Stop it. And it's hilarious. There's more to it than just that. But that's what I kind of heard Jesus saying right there. Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus kind of just says, stop it. But it's important to note that Jesus doesn't really do that. The way it comes across in English, Jesus says, don't be troubled. Stop it. But in this is one of the few times where Greek really helps bring something alive. And so this is why pastors should know and study Greek, because sometimes it makes a difference. This is one of those times. That little sentence that's translated in the Common English Bible, don't be troubled, is in the passive voice. Your heart, don't let your heart be troubled. You have a heart. And Jesus says, don't let the trouble stir it up. But the don't let is the whole thing. What I'm trying to say is we sometimes identify with our trouble. We sometimes say, I am anxious. I am depressed. I am troubled. I am disturbed. And we very closely identify with the way that we're troubled. Even the way that Jesus says this in Greek separates you from the trouble. The trouble is an outside thing that stirs up your heart. And so there's an externalization of the trouble. It happens to us. It's not who you are. So one of the funny things about that Bob Newhart sketch is how easy the advice looks. When you watch it, of course, stop it. You don't want to be scared walking around, do you? No, stop it. It's easy advice, but life is actually so complicated. We are troubled. We do have fears. We do have anxiety. We do experience depression. These things happen to us, and they're usually out of our direct control. We can't just stop it, or we would. So the first thing Jesus does is kind of separate the trouble from identification with us, which I think is helpful. The other thing Jesus does is he goes even further. He doesn't just stop at a sort of stop it, helping us externalize what the trouble is, but Jesus goes farther. He says to trust God and trust Christ and gives us a reason to. And the reason to trust, despite the trouble we experience that happens to us, is ultimate hope. Now, this doesn't necessarily fix the immediate trouble. It doesn't necessarily fix the immediate pain, the impending doom that you may sense. It's an ultimate hope that even if the worst happens, if death finds you, if you were to lose your life, that we are not lost to God. That somehow, even in death, God has a resting place for us as we await the resurrection. What Jesus mentions here, in my Father's house, there's room to spare, or there's many rooms, you'll hear in some translations. It's a reference to one of the ways that the temple in Jesus' day was set up. When pilgrims would come to Jerusalem, there were rooms in the temple, in the Father's house, where pilgrims could stay as they were there for a festival. They would sometimes fill up, as we read in the Christmas story. There was no more rooms. There were no rooms anywhere, not in the temple or anywhere else. But Jesus is saying there's room to spare in the Father's house. So as travelers would come to Jerusalem, they would stay in these kind of temporary houses where they would stay and then they would move on. So even in death, there is a place in God where we will rest and await the final resurrection and redemption of all things. There's room for you in God. There's room to spare, as the Common English Bible puts it. So just two things I want you to hear and take with you. The first one is stop it. Just kidding. That's not really. The first one is that the anxiety and depression and trouble that you may feel, that they're outside of you, that these things happen to you. Our hearts are stirred up. There's something else that comes in and disturbs them. So sometimes we are disturbed. It happens to us. Don't say, I am depressed. Say that depression is attacking me again. To kind of externalize those sorts of feelings can be very helpful, or whatever it is. And then the second thing is that even though your heart may be troubled, you may be worked up, stirred up, whatever it is, begin to tell yourself a story that is full of ultimate hope, that even if the very worst happens, it really will be okay, because God has me. God carries me even if the very worst happens. And I really don't want that to sound like just trite advice. And it can very much come across like that. This is about creating a story. Tell yourself a story that no matter how dark chapter 7 gets, chapter 10 brings it all back together. And we can live in that story, knowing that we're partway through. That's partly what Holy Week and Easter is about. We slowly walk through Holy Week because the pain and the darkness of it reminds us that we live in pain and shadow. But there is an end to the story that is really good, that puts all the things back together again. And as we read in parts of Isaiah, we won't even remember some of the things that have gone on. Some of those horrible things will simply be wiped away. That is our story. And that is the end of the story that we've been given a glimpse of. And so I hope that, rather than just being trite advice, that we can start to live in a narrative that really does give us ultimate hope. Let's pray. Jesus, I ask you for strength to tell ourselves a new story, that depression and anxiety and trouble and a worked up heart, that those are things that happen to us. They're not who we are. They happen to us. And that we live in a story where there is ultimate hope, that you will somehow, the God of all creativity, will put things back together and make all things right. And that does give us great hope. When things are going haywire, when we don't understand, when we are lost and worked up and stirred up and troubled, help anchor us in a story that has a really good ending. And may that encourage us as we live through troubled times. We pray this in your good name, the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.